Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know that elders and others are losing their rights to liberty and property? Anyone can petition a court to have a person deemed incapacitated. What if that person is you? The adult guardianship system was created to protect incompetent people and their assets. A court-appointed guardian, sometimes a total stranger, can force you into a nursing home and sell your home to pay for services. Treasured belongings can disappear as you are drugged and isolated from loved ones. Why does this happen? Unfortunately, the courts don't have the funding to supervise and audit cases. A guardian makes all decisions on your behalf, taking control of your assets with little accountability. The potential for abuse is frightening. Luckily, not all guardians exploit those under their care, but when they do, there's really nowhere to go for help. The National Association to Stop Guardian Abuse, NASGA, is working to reform adult guardianship to return it to its once noble purpose of protecting the human rights to life, liberty, and property and ending financial exploitation of assets. Are you or your loved ones protected? To learn more, visit stopguardianabuse.org.
Good evening, everyone. That was a public service announcement from NASGA, National Association to Stop Guardianship Abuse. And we thank them for letting us use their commercial. Anyway, today is June 2nd. Everybody, this is June 2021. You are listening to Face Us Radio. That's Families Against Court Embezzlement Unethical Standards Radio. On the Hidden Truth Revealed channel on Blog Talk Radio. The Inside Scoop. My name is Luann Fleming, and I'm with my other co-host tonight, Robin Austin. Say hello to everybody.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. You're going to love this one. It looks like a delightful lineup. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you and love you so much.
Right. And we got Marcy Freeman is with us from Florida. Marcy?
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. And the show just keep getting better and better. And gosh, everything is out on TV now. There's no denying. So welcome, everyone.
Right. Yes. And we have Hillary Hoag. She's also from Florida. She's one of our other co-hosts. Say hello.
Hello, everyone. And again, thank you to our listeners for joining us in another week of fighting the corrupt guardianship system in this country. And wow, it's going to be a great show. So thank you so much.
Right. Good, everybody. We're going to probably have a full radio show tonight. It's already lighting up. So we're going to try not to talk over anybody. And if that happens, I will call out names to speak. We got to try to keep this to where we don't talk over each other because these are all recorded and archived. Okay, so I just wanted to let you know that. We will be taking in calls from our listeners in about 45 minutes, maybe a little bit longer. I'm not sure yet. And to do that, you call this number, 845-241-9962. You press a 1, and that's 845-241-9962. You press a 1, and that's the same call-in number every week. So just write that down. And press a 1. And that will let me know that you have a question or a comment. And, yes, you will be live on the air with us. And like I said, all of our shows are recorded and archived. And you can also hit the follow button on there if you go to the Hidden Truth Revealed. And that will remind you our shows are coming up every Wednesday, okay? So I just wanted to put that down so it will remind you and even remind me to make sure that I get on there and do the show. So I just wanted to let you know that. Anyway, like I said, we're going to have a lot to talk about, and we've got some really good guests, and the work that they're doing out in California is amazing, everybody. So I'm going to just jump right into it, and let me talk a little bit about it first, and then we're going to bring our guests on. And so tonight our guests are Linda Kincaid and Julie Doherty. Linda Kincaid and Richard Calhoun formed Coalition for Elder and Disability Rights, CEDAR, C-E-D-A-R, to advocate for conservatorship reform in California. Linda and Julie join us on the recent 70 minutes, listen to this, 70 minutes of coverage by ABC 10, the price of California conservatorship in Sacramento. Now, I just pasted all five of those on the Families Against Court Embezzlement Unethical Standards Face Us up on Facebook. So you can actually click on that link. It will take you to every one of those series that they've done. And please share them nationally. This is really good to show people what is really going on in our nation. So everybody share those, please, and call into the radio show if you'd like, if you have questions or comments. And so I'm going to go on a little bit further. Linda says credibility is important, interacting with media, law enforcement, legislators, and the courts, and I'm going to bring her on shortly to talk about that. And I also want to talk to you about Julie Doherty's mom. She is concerned by professional fiduciary duty. Listen to me, I can't even barely talk. I've had such a long day. A professional fiduciary for 5 years permitted supervised visits twice weekly, 2 hours total. Now think about that, that you are supervised from your mother. I tell you, I still can't get past all this, why they do that. And I have my hunches. I know what's going on there, but I'm telling you, I just don't know how people can do it. I mean, I love my mom, and I was taken away from my mom, like I said, for a long time. So I understand what is going on in the system. Anyway, we are going to go right now. We're going to bring Linda Kincaid on, and then we're going to bring Julie on in probably about 10, 15 minutes. So hang on there, Julie. So, Linda Kincaid, are you with us?
I'm here. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. We've got all of our advocates. Our whole bulletin board is completely filled up. So I know that this is going to be a really good radio show. And the recent coverage of the ABC 10, The Price of Care, investigating California conservatorships in Sacramento is huge, what happened out there. Can you kind of talk a little bit about, you know, a little bit how you got started with Cedar? What happened and why you become such a huge advocate out there? I mean, a lot of people called me in. I know Linda Kincaid. She's awesome. You know, you've got to, you know. So just go ahead and talk about that and whatever you want to talk about. Just let our listeners know that that this, what the coverage is about and why it's so important to talk about this topic, okay?
Sure. First, I'd like to back up just a bit and answer the question that you asked a few minutes ago about why they would isolate someone from their family. And the answer is really simple. It's money. Conservatorship is driven by money, by billable hours. And the very best way to keep those billable hours running up is to isolate the conservatee from family. And you know, if your parent or a loved one is isolated, you can't see them, you're just going to keep going to court, going to court, going to court, filing petitions, making requests. And every time you do that, all the opposing attorneys get to file their responses. And all of those guys in suits lined up in front of the table in the courtroom are getting their billable hours every time you go to court and ask for anything. So answered that. So going back to Cedar and how we got formed. Like most of the people involved, most of the people listening, I expect, are listening, are concerned because it happened to them. This is not a job that anyone wants to have. This is something that you get pulled in because it happens to your family member. And with me, it was my mom in 2010. She was under conservatorship 2010 to 2013. She was isolated, not allowed contact with anyone, really, for 15 months. And we were opposing that, of course, and, you know, running up those attorney bills because, you know, that's what you do. You keep going to court asking to see your parent, and they keep opposing you, and it keeps being billable hours for everybody. But Cedar came about a little bit later. If you want to do advocacy in the legislature, it's important to understand how the system works as much as possible. And you know, wherever you are, whatever state you live in, whatever district you're in, you have access to your state senator and your state assembly person. Some states call it something other than assembly, but in California, we have the state senate, we have the state assembly. As a resident of California, I have access as an individual to my senator and my assembly person. That's it. If those two representatives aren't interested about my issue, too bad. The way you get access to your entire state legislature is becoming an organization. Organizations can go to your Capitol and talk to anyone in the legislature. And so after my mom passed away, We were wanting to get more active in Sacramento and start driving more legislation. And we realized that we needed to have an organization. And so we formed CEDAR. It really happened just over a weekend. A handful of us were kicking around ideas of, well, what should we call ourselves? You know, we want the kind of, that's what we're wanting to do. We want an acronym that's easy to remember and maybe even sort of maybe makes you think of some kind of logo. And, you know, we were just, over the weekend, we were all emailing ideas back and forth. And it was my other half, Richard, who came up with, initially it was Coalition for Elder Independent Adult Rights. Like, hey, CEDAR, then we can have a tree as our logo. Like, great, like that. And the dependent adult term came out of California's laws. I mean, that's what people with disabilities, people under conservatorship in California law are called dependent adults. But a year or two in, we realized that that term was offensive to a lot of people in the disability community. And so at that point, we changed the name to Coalition for Elder and Disability Rights, and we kept the same acronym CEDAR and the same logo. So that's what I would really recommend people do. If you want to be able to get the ear of your legislators, you know, and you can be just 2, 3, 4 people, but come up with that organizational name, make letterhead, we made business cards. And another thing that is really important, advice that we got over 10 years ago probably, one of the legislative staffers that we talked to, you know, we were kind of not sure what our focus was going to be. We knew we wanted to do something about conservatorship. We knew we wanted to do something about law enforcement. But this gentleman told us the most effective advocates are the ones who have a certain topic and they stick to it. He said that way, when they see you coming, they know what you want. You know, obviously, as individuals, you're not going to have a large budget. We're completely self-funded. You know, we don't take money from anyone for anything. It's just us. And there's a lot you can do on a computer these days. So, you know, give some thought to what your mission is, what it is that you want to do, and put that into a mission statement so that it reminds you of what your goal is, why you're doing this. And it can't be, you know, I want to prove that my brother's an evil person. You know, that's, you know, frankly, nobody cares. You have a goal that you want to reform some sort of systemic wrong, that's a very worthwhile purpose, and people will respect you for that. They may not always agree with your point of view on everything, but they will respect that you're doing something that you are passionate about and that you feel is worthwhile and that a lot of people feel is worthwhile. And I'd say that's where to start. Come up with an organizational name, come up with a mission statement, and then go out there and start taking on the world.
Yeah. When I was listening to you, Linda, and I was thinking about us creating Faith Us, and it was really, we thought of hundreds of names. We thought of everything, what's really going on, and we came up with Faith Us. And I tell you what, and I can understand how important that is, because when you go into legislation, they look at you a lot differently when you come from an organization. They really do. And a lot more people talk to you. So very good words that you just put out for everybody. That's very good for our listeners. So all of a sudden, how long have you been doing this now? Did you say over 10 years, did you say?
My mom was kidnapped in, well, it was June 4th of 2010. So we're almost to the anniversary of 11 years now.
Wow, that's when our whole stuff started as well. Actually, 2006, but I'm just saying that 2010 was a busy year. That's all I can say. Anyway, that's amazing that you've been doing this long, and you've been very successful. Can you tell us exactly, I know that there was some kind of legislation you passed out there. Was that another thing you did?
We've been involved in a number of bills. The first one that was passed directly, the first one really kind of went along with the formation of CEDAR and our our getting involved in the legislature. And at that point in time, it was Richard much more than me, because when the first bill was going through the legislature, my mom was still alive. And so my focus was completely on my mom and her welfare and what was happening to her. And I had no energy for anything to do with anything else. You know, basically I told Richard, you know, if you want me to testify to the legislature, you get me to Sacramento, you keep me fed, you get me to the room where I'm supposed to be, and I'll go talk, because that is all the energy I have. I can't do anything else. We were in litigation. I was trying to get protection for my mom. You know, I had no extra energy. Without Richard taking the lead on a lot of this, none of it would have happened. But that first bill for me was really transformative. There was nothing in California's probate code, and there's nothing in most state probate codes that specify a person under conservatorship has a right to have visitors. Now, I think we most of us would understand that once a person's an adult, they have the right to hang out with anybody they want. It's even in the Constitution, the right to assembly. But as soon as a person's put under conservatorship, or in most states it's called guardianship, one of the first things that happens so often is they're isolated from family, friends, loved ones, neighbors, clergy, you name it. In my mom's case, no visitors at all. There are actually notes saying that she's not allowed any visitors, don't let anyone in the building. And this unfortunately happens to quite a few people. Yeah. And our first bill was Assembly Bill 937. That was back in 2013. And it just stated in the probate code that a conservatee retains the right to visitation, phone calls, and personal mail. Something that seems so obvious, but it wasn't in the probate code yet until we got that bill passed. And it's still not in the probate codes in a lot of states. And if you don't have that in your probate code, if you don't have the policy in writing, you can't point to that and say, hey, this thing is being violated. You know, people say, what's the point of laws? They just break the laws. Well, yes, they do. They do all the time. But when you have the law on the books, you can point at it and say, that law is being violated, as opposed to, you know, I just don't think it's right. I don't think you should do this. You're an evil person, you know, whatever you might be saying to them. It's so much better if the law's on the books and you can say, here, probate code 2351A is being violated. So that was our first. And, you know, Richard got his taste of working with the legislature there. And we've gone on and had a number of other bills passed, and we've got a couple going through this year. And, you know, once you get into it and you learn the system, you just kind of get on a roll and you keep going.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm really glad you've had some successes there. So is there more legislation that you're going to be doing again for next year?
It's a little bit too early to be talking about next year just yet. We're still in the middle of this year's legislative cycle. We have two that we sponsored and one more that we're supporting. We're sort of sponsoring it behind the scenes. There's a group of students that has some ideas, and we said, you know, hey, why don't you guys sponsor this one? And we'll do some coaching from behind the scenes, but you guys can be the sponsors of record. You guys can take the credit. So we've actually got three that we're responsible for this year, and that's a very full plate. But most of it's going well. One of them may be hitting a speed bump, but, you know, that happens. You don't get everything through, and if you don't, then you come back next year and you try again. But since I'm talking about legislation, let's talk about how do you get started with this.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, now, every state has a different calendar. And you wherever you are, you have to figure out what your state's legislative calendar is. In California, all the bills get introduced in January and February. And if you don't get your bills in that window, well, it's too late. You get to wait till next year. So when you're talking to legislators about ideas, that's going to happen late the prior year. So if we want to introduce legislation next year, we're going to be approaching legislators in probably starting as early as September, sounding them out, you know, who might be receptive to talking to us. But then October, November, you need to be having those conversations, you know, saying, here's what I think is important. Here's what happened. Here's how this language that we're proposing would help with that problem. start forming those relationships, having those conversations. A lot of legislators, they're not interested in your topic. Don't waste your time with them. Move on. And here and there, you'll find someone who's receptive to your issue. So then the next step is drafting the legislation. You have to have it all in the proper legalese and formatted correctly. You know, that happens probably in January. Then it has to get introduced in February. Then you go through a series of committees, you know, so there's March, April, into May. And when it passes out of one house, then it goes over to the other house and you do it all again. So let's say, you know, a Senate bill that we're pushing right now will come out of the Senate. You know, we've got through our Senate committees, then it'll go to the Assembly, and we have to do it all again in the Assembly. And that's how they all work. You know, you've got two houses in the legislature. It has to go through both of them. And just like at the U.S. level, you have the U.S. Senate and you have the House of Representatives. It goes through one, then it has to go to the other. So that's mirrored in every state legislature, as far as I know. So, you know, it's a long process of all those committees, and you're contacting people to get letters of recommendation, letters of support. There will be times when there's a bill you oppose, and that happens too, and you're submitting letters of opposition and saying, we disagree with somebody's bill because there are things in there that we think are bad or make things worse. But once you get into it, it isn't really as intimidating as you might think. You know, legislature's a mess. They say sausage and the law are two things you shouldn't see getting made, and I kind of agree with that. You know, watching the legislature, you sort of wonder how anything ever gets done, and it is slow and ponderous. But little by little, you can move things the right direction. And I would say, don't try to do anything big. People want to have these big, massive bills where they change everything in one fell swoop. Well, it's not going to work. We've made a lot of changes on some things, and we've done it with little steps. If you do little steps at a time incrementally, you don't get much opposition. And we've managed to make a lot of changes to the penal code, the criminal laws, just a little piece at a time. You know, make a little tweak. Next year, make another little tweak. Next year, make another little tweak. And after 5 years, you've accomplished something massive. So I'd say, you know, especially as a small organization, take something small, like here, this little thing would make it better in your state, and just go out and talk to people. If you can, go to the state capitol. If you can't, well, these days everybody's doing things on Zoom. And that's made it so much easier. We used to spend so much time on the road going up to Sacramento and even, you know, getting a hotel and spending 2 or 3 days in Sacramento because the drive is so long. But now it's like it's all a phone call, and you just set up Zoom meetings with people, and you can meet with somebody in the morning and somebody else in the afternoon, and it's so much easier than it used to be. And I'm really hoping that we keep that approach to doing things. You know, I assume we'll be in Sacramento periodically because there will be times when we do want to go there in person for something, but it's not going to be necessary to go up there nearly as often. And for people who don't really want to travel so much, I think the new approach is really opening it up to a lot more people to participate in the legislative process.
Wow, that's a lot to talk about. And I can relate to you. I know Robin Austin and I both could relate to you because we've worked in legislation. We had a guest on last week named Senator Laura Woods, and we worked trying to pass Catherine Falk was out here with NAFTA. And we tried passing a couple laws for isolation. And I tell you, that was a lot of work of drafting and working. It is a lot of work. And I can definitely tell you about all that happened. Robin was right there along with us. And it's a long process. I agree with you. In drafting the bills, you have to have them just worded exactly right. And it's a lot of work. So I can really tell you, yeah, I agree with that.
It is. I found in this process that it can be very slow and it can be very frustrating. There are times when you will put forth legislation that has been carefully drafted, carefully designed to solve some particular aspect of the whole problem of corrupt guardianship, and it just gets voted down pretty summarily. That, you know, we had one, we talked about this with Senator Laura Woods when we introduced the Catherine Falk bill. The Senate intentionally tortured us. They brought us in. We were asked to be there, I think it was 10 o'clock in the morning. So we all got up, you know, between 6 and 8 in the morning so we could get downtown to the Capitol, get parked, and get there. And then they went through their legislative calendar, and they put everything they could in front of that bill. And they did not actually take up that bill until 4:30 in the morning when we were finally allowed to give our testimony. It was between 4:30 and 6 a.m. We had been there since 10 o'clock in the morning the day before. And
yeah,
they voted down the bill pretty summarily. It was just dismissed. It was really just to make a point that they didn't you know, that it felt like to me, and I believe, that it was really just to make the point that they didn't like us, they didn't want to hear what we had to say, and they would punish us if we brought this kind of thing into their chambers. And when
right.
we walked out, we heard the birds singing and we saw the sun coming up. It was really an education in the legislative abuse that can be in tandem with the court abuses that we're trying to remedy. Now, since then, we have seen some progress. I don't think any other activists have again been held until 4:30 in the morning before they could speak. We had a gentleman who was well up in age who was simply unable to give coherent testimony since they kept him up about 7.5 hours past his bedtime. It was really, really rude. And it was an unfortunate moment that taught us something about the legislative process. I am very grateful that we're not alone and that there are other activists that are bringing these things forward into other legislatures throughout the country and throughout the world. And so this is fascinating to me. I'm very happy to hear from our friends in California what you're up to and what you've been able to accomplish.
I agree with that. Linda, I think you guys have done a wonderful job out there, and I'm just really glad that you're able to come on and talk about the process. And also, not only that, but you're going to talk about the recent 70 minutes of the coverage by ABC 10 and how that happened as well. So I think going on out there has really shown a lot of progress. What's your thoughts on that?
California does seem to be making more progress than some other states.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all I can say is I'm glad to see it. We've been working at it a long time, and there are other people who have been working at it a long time. And the whole thing with ABC seemed to be sort of the stars aligned for things to work out. And we're so grateful that it happened. And Andy Judson, the reporter who did the series, is really a remarkable young woman. She grabbed hold of this topic and just kept digging and digging and digging. And I've lost track of how many emails she sent me saying, you know, hey, somebody said this is happening. Could this really happen? Do you have any documents on that? And I'd say, yeah, how many do you want? Here's for starters. And then, you know, a couple days later, another question. Well, you know, what about this other thing? Could this happen? I go, yeah, here's some documents on that one. And there was, you know, months of this going on where she would approach us with, you know, gee, we heard that something might be happening, or, you know, like a month ago you said that this thing happened, you know, can you prove it? And just we went through that over and over and over. And, you know, I'd dig out documents. I'd go, well, here's this case in Santa Barbara where this happened. And here's this case in Monterey where this happened. And, you know, here's this case in Southern California where this happened. And here's this case in Alameda where this happened. And, you know, I think the lesson that you learn from that experience is to have your documents in order, have them in electronic format, because, you know, I'm not carrying paper, you know, 2 hours to Sacramento to give something to her. I'm emailing PDF files to her. But when she would say, you know, Do you have other cases where someone was isolated? Do you have case? You know, you said that police aren't responding to these. Can you prove that? Do you have any documents? I go, yeah, here you go. You know, here are letters I have from police saying that they're not going to investigate. And so, you know, we can all make a zillion allegations. It's so easy to make allegations. And, you know, we all have our perceptions and our beliefs of what's happening. But I would really caution people against saying anything, in public at least, that you can't support with a document. You know, I may have my personal opinions about why something is happening, but if I can't support that with documentation, I think we should be very, very careful about saying it. Because if you make an allegation that you can't support, you know, not only could you be sued for slander, but I think you lose your most important asset, which is your credibility. And that's what we were able to establish with ABC, is that if we said something happened, we could get them a document that proved it happened. And so they could count on us to provide that, because before they can take something on the air, they've got to get it through their legal department. And, you know, their legal beagles at ABC do not want the station to get sued for saying something that they can't back up. And so,
right,
you know, it was just like when we were in litigation, every time I would tell my attorney, you know, this thing happened, he'd say, send me a document to prove it. And it's the same working with reporters. You know, if you say something happened, be able to prove it or don't waste their time on it. And that was the relationship we got to with Andy, where she'd go, oh, I know this is short notice, but I've got to turn this around today. Can you send me a document that shows whatever? And I'd say, here you go. You know, like,
yeah,
in 10 minutes, I'd respond to her like, here's the document. Here you go. Here's proof of this thing.
Right.
So that's where I would really, you know, so many people come with stories that are just absolute nightmares. And, you know, I don't want to take away from their stories. I'm sure that's what they perceive happened. But if they don't have the documentation to prove it, there's really not much the media can do with it. And there's certainly nothing you're going to do with it in court if you don't have the documents to prove it. It really is about being able to prove what you say. So, yeah, that's where I go. You know, get your case files, get them organized, generally chronologically, you know, maybe put tabs on things as to which person this particular thing involved. Get them scanned into PDFs. So when somebody says, send me evidence of this thing that you said, you can say, you'll have it in 5 minutes.
Perfect. Yes. I absolutely like that, because I have mine all in a folder. And when someone asks me anything, I just say, that's on page 13. You know, you know, I have a whole list of what I'm talking about on what page they are. So I can flip it right to that paper that I need. So I'm all set up that way, and that's why I encourage everybody, get a folder, put your paperwork in that folder, you know, explain what it is, and that way if you do talk to anybody like we did with Channel 7 News, Jennifer Kowaleski and Joe Vassarelli, out here in Colorado, we had documents already. We gave them documents, we gave them everything we needed to do, and it went very well. On there, so I can understand exactly what you're talking about. So that's really good that you shared that with our listeners and the nation, actually. So you also talk about okay. So this is what you wrote to me earlier. So I just want to regroup all this, and it says, Linda explains that credibility is the most important asset in interacting with media, law enforcement, legislators, or the courts. Have documents to support every allegation. Have those documents organized in a law electronic format, ready to easily share with investigators. So I think all that is just a little pocketbook of what we got to do to get more stories in, like what you've covered out there. So you've recently did 70 minutes of this coverage by ABC 10. The Price of Care, Investigating California Conservatorships in Sacramento. So we also have another guest with us tonight, Julie Daugherty, and she's also in the ABC 10 series. And we're going to bring her on in a little bit here pretty soon. But I wanted to talk to you first. How did this come to you about the series that was being investigated?
They came and found us. The folks in Sacramento, Julie Doherty being one of them, a number of people were approaching ABC 10 about abuses by a particular professional conservator, Carolyn Young. And,
right.
You know, they were telling their stories. So whatever those stories were, there were a handful of people, half a dozen or so, maybe more than that, telling their stories about Carolyn Young. And that got ABC interested in the Professional Fiduciaries Bureau, because in California, our professional fiduciaries are licensed. And it's been that way, I think, since 2008. So there's this Professional Fiduciaries Bureau that is supposed to be overseeing the actions of the professional fiduciaries, like Carolyn Young. And they're not doing a very good job of it. So Richard and I have gone to a number of the meetings of the Professional Fiduciaries Bureau. They have public meetings, I think it's once a quarter in Sacramento, and the public can attend, and these things are video recorded, and then the video's archived on YouTube. So Richard and I had been going to the meetings of the Bureau and basically taking them to task for not doing their jobs. You know, little things like there's one professional fiduciary in Orange County that we established had billed 57 hours in a single day. I don't care
wow.
how well motivated and how well caffeinated you are, I would challenge anyone to work 57 hours in one day. You know, little things like that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
She billed going to the post office 19 times in one day.
Right.
I'm sorry. It's in the court records. It's all approved by the court. She went to the post office 19 times in one day. So we were taking that sort of thing to the Bureau meetings and, you know, publicly on camera, taking them to task for that. So when ABC got interested in the Professional Fiduciaries Bureau, they were watching these old videos and they saw us there at these meetings, you know, making these allegations of things like, well, you're telling us that killing your client is okay. That's not a violation of a license. You're telling us that billing 57 hours in one day is okay with you. That's not a violation of the license. And Andy Judson said, we want to talk to these people. And they tracked down Richard. And then through Richard, they started talking to me. And one thing led to another. And they asked us to come up to Sacramento to tape an interview, and we went on to the we had to get special permission to go on the Capitol grounds because of, you know, with COVID, the Capitol was closed, of course. So they had to get a permit for us to go on the Capitol grounds and film there. And then after the interview, they kept following up with us, asking more questions and more questions. And they used some of the video that I sent them from my own case, because I have a lot of deposition videos. And it just kept growing and growing and growing. You know, we were hoping it might be a 2 or 3 minute piece on the news. That's usually the best you can hope for. And then we heard
wow.
it was going to go multiple days. And then we heard it's going to blow out the entire 11 o'clock news every night for a week. We were just ecstatic. There's never been coverage that extensive before. You know, we're hoping they're going to do more, but we don't know yet.
Right. That's why I encourage everybody, if you can, to call into them and say, thank you. Thank you for doing this for everybody. They did that with Channel 7 News here, and they actually called me and says, wow, we've had an outpour of people from across the nation. I said, yes, that's how big this thing is. And they're going to be doing some more series on it as well with us. So that's good news as well. So that's awesome that they contacted you. They contacted me as well through another lady that was complaining. So please, media, go there with a bunch of families, because they will talk to you, okay? We've been planning this, trying to talk to media for a long time out here, and it finally happened. And it's a really good feeling when that does. So that's awesome. So we are going to actually bring on, I think it was Julie Doherty who actually called in. Let's see if I can get her onto the line here. So hold on, Linda. We're going to be with you in a second once again. Julie, are you with us?
I am.
Good. So you've been listening to the show so far, and we've let Linda talk about just what Cedar was about and how she got involved. And And I also think that you were one of the families, and in fact, you're the one who contacted from the news media about this. Is that true, right?
Correct.
Correct. So go ahead and talk a little bit about that and talk a little bit about why you actually did this. And I know that your mother's being conserved right now. Can you speak a little bit about that first, and then you can talk about
yes.
how you reached out to the news media?
Sure. So this is I'm a corporate event manager by trade, but this has been I'm a freelance when I produce corporate events, so I might work for a few months here and there, you know, have downtime. But this has been my mantra, my mission for over five and a half years, to free my mother from the grips of professional fiduciary Carolyn Young in Sacramento. My mother was conserved a little over 5 years ago because I had two siblings who were alleging, while I was taking care of my mother for 22 months full-time without any help from them, that I was stealing from her, that I was undue influencing her. And so we entered litigation 5 years ago. We've since that time have had 21 hearings, a 9-day trial, a 2-day trial, 3 days of mediation. And I am now, I believe it's my fifth lawyer. I would have kept my third lawyer, but my mother's court-appointed counsel and my brother's counsel demanded that that I give up that lawyer when she changed firms and there became a conflict of interest. But anyway, I'm kind of getting off course a little bit. But my mother has been under a temporary conservatorship starting in March of 2016 based on those false allegations, which then led to the temporary appointment of Carolyn Young. Carolyn Young then saw, along with a forensic CPA, along with, depositions and discovery, that there was absolutely zero misappropriation of funds. There also had been zero attempts at isolation by me, which came out also in depositions from my siblings. So in the meantime, during this time where we're going through an enormous amount of litigation in the first 2 years, my siblings filed two false adult protective services reports against me. Both were deemed unfounded. What I failed to mention so far, that sort of the impetus for this, for the springboard for these allegations, was because my mother provided a loan for me to purchase a condominium in Marin County. I live in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area. My mother's in Sacramento, which is 100 miles away. And so she provided the means for me to purchase this condominium in addition to a significant down payment. Well, this pissed off. Can I say that word?
Yes.
This pissed off my siblings, at least a couple of my siblings, and they couldn't get it through their head that this was not a gift, that it was a 3-year loan, that my mother had gone to her attorney to make certain that that addendum or codicil was added to her well-planned estate, that she had been seen by her neurologist, and he said that she had a capacity to give me a $1 million loan if my mother had it. It was the same with the APS social worker, that, she met with my mother for an hour behind closed doors and said that if your mother wants to give you the moon, she can do that. My mother's primary care physician also deemed her to have capacity to make that decision, as did my mother's long-term estate planning attorney. Regardless of that, a jealous sibling made it her mission to formulate this campaign, and as she told one of my siblings, it was to take me down. So she had another one of my brothers fund her the start of a litigation, and her lawyer has Carolyn Young on speed dial because he's been a good friend of Carolyn Young's for 40 years because his father is an appellate court judge in Sacramento. And his father is
the godfather of Carolyn Young's children. Now, if you can keep up with that.
You're starting to fade away a little bit. Is there?
Can
I'm sorry.
Can you tell us all?
Yeah, you need to, you're starting to fade away a little bit.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Hello? Okay.
Yes.
So I don't know how much I need to repeat it, but Carolyn Young was referred to these two siblings who mm-hmm. who were opposed to my mom giving me this loan. So mm-hmm. Carolyn Young came into the picture 5 years ago as temporary conservator. And she then became general conservator in a trial a year and a half later because the judge went on the record as saying that he thought we should stay with the status quo because I had filed
right.
a competing conservatorship petition. I had been the one to take care of my mother for 22 months. And they came out and said that, yes, there hadn't been any misappropriation of funds. My brother's attorney at that time called those allegations incorrections. So,
incorrect.
But it didn't matter. It didn't matter. The fiduciary had entered the door. So
right.
the next, I was still taking care of my mother for the first few months of the temporary conservatorship. They then kicked me out of my mother's house while I was having emergency gallbladder surgery, and I was not allowed back into my mother's house. So it has been almost 5 years since I've had a meal with my mother. The visits were supervised, and mm-hmm. initially for the first couple of years, I was at provided a total of 3 hours of visitation each week, and I was always supervised. So there was a $150 an hour RN who would sit 4 feet from me in addition to two of Carolyn Young's staff. So they would line up along with the caregiver. So there would be four people lined up 4 to 5 feet from the table in the kitchen where I would sit visiting with my mother. And they would write down and report on my every move, including when I went to the bathroom, if my mother fell asleep, if I went to the backyard and pruned roses for 2 minutes and then ran back upstairs, because these are all the jobs that I used to do, gardening and so forth. And so it was what's the word I'm looking for? This was all punitive because I was never going to agree with a third-party conservator taking control mm-hmm. of my mother's estate. We are now,
yeah.
as I said, we're now 5.5 years into it. Carolyn Young spent down $3.1 million of my mother's estate in the first 2 years. I am opposing her second accounting right now. She has had to submit 3 amended accountings because she can't seem to get it straight. Each time, of course, my mother's estate is billed for her time, her attorney's time, and the probate investigators continue to say you haven't provided A, B, and C. Our next hearing is in August, and we're hoping that her fourth attempt at accounting will be accurate, but regardless, I'm still getting minimal amount of visits with my mother. During COVID, the first 2.5 months, I was forbidden from seeing my mother even through a window. So then for Mother's Day, Carolyn Young threw us a bone and said, you can have 30 minutes to see your mother through a window. That was Mother's Day 2020. And after that, I begged for visits, and I drove 2 hours each way once a week to have a 30-minute visit with my mother through a window. During that time, she became nonverbal. The caregiver wouldn't move her close enough to the window that she could hear me and see me. She was then put into a hospice program as of February, this last February. And I again begged for visitation. Visitation was moved indoors 1 month ago. But I was told, even though I'm vaccinated and my mother is vaccinated, that I had to sit 6 feet away from my mother. Again, it's punitive, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's where we are. So as of right now, I now get an hour visit twice a week. So I drive to Sacramento twice a week to see my mother for an hour. And I am still supervised, and the supervisor is sitting at the kitchen table noting my every my every move, my every word, my every sip of my coffee. I've also filed a complaint with the Professional Fiduciary Bureau that Linda mentioned a few minutes ago, and I filed my complaint in February of 2020. And I have provided some, I think it's 60 documents and pleadings, filings from the court, accountings. They can see that Carolyn Young did not marshal all of my mom's assets. They let accounts run dry due to bank fees, and they have, to this point, not rendered a decision. I also filed a complaint with the American Bar Association over my mother's court-appointed conservator, who also represents Carolyn Young in other cases. So
that
shouldn't happen. And my attorney at the time, when this Barbara Bender is her name, and when she was appointed court-appointed counsel, my attorney immediately argued and told the judge that she represents the fiduciary, Carolyn Young, in other cases, and he allowed it. So now we have Barbara Bender, who has never followed, never supported my mother's long-term, she's had an estate plan for 30 years. Barbara Bender has never adhered or wanted to follow my mother's estate plan. She is completely in like Flint with Carolyn Young. And so that's where we are now. The American Bar Association.
What happened was, so everybody's texting me now, right now, and on Messenger saying, it's really hard to get a news media coverage. Very hard, and we found that out as well. So they're asking me, how did this happen for you? I mean, how hard was it for you to get someone involved, and how did you do that?
I want to make sure I stay focused here, because this is so convoluted and so complex, as most people, as I'm sure they've said. I have spent just under $400,000 of my own funds to try to free my mom. And I didn't start thinking, okay, I've got $500,000 to spend to save my mom. It just was like, okay, 10,000 here and 20,000 here. Oh, if I can get through the trial, I might win that trial, but that's going to cost me 80,000. And so all of a sudden, it's a snowball effect. And so I have followed Yelp. I have followed every single possible review. I have, gone and spent hours at Sacramento Probate Court, and I've seen that Carolyn Young never loses. Never. I have not come across a single case. They tell you the outcome of the case. You can't, when it's a conservatorship, it's private, it's personal, you can't get that information. But I can see whether or not she prevailed. She uses the same attorneys. She uses the same nurses. She uses the same concierge doctors for all of her patients. No, that's not accurate. She doesn't use them for any of her patients who can't afford it, because Carolyn Young targets those clients, those conservatees who have funds. So at this point, my mother's care is $38,000 a month. My mother is in her home. So it's $28,000 a month for the agency. The concierge doctor is approximately $2,000, depending upon the amount of visits. Then there is a nurse case manager who also has supervised me. She's the one that's $150 an hour, an RN. Why they're having an RN supervise me, that's something to be discussed. But then she comes through and does my mom's meds, and she's billed anywhere from $3,000 to $8,000 a month for the last 4 years. And then you have my mother's health care plan, which they're keeping in their back pocket, I guess, just in the event my mother needs hospitalization, because my mother hasn't seen her primary care physician in 4 years. It's this concierge doctor that Carolyn Young brings in for my mother, as well as for other conservatees, that no doubt works exclusively for Carolyn Young, because she can make a pretty good living at that.
Wow, that's a lot.
I'm sorry, your listeners were asking the question about how I approached. So I have approached every network in Northern California, including in the Bay Area and Sacramento. I contacted the Sacramento Bee. There was one reporter who was interested at one time, and then she said that their investigative group had blown up, and she was the only person. I reached out to Dr. Phil.
I think everybody has done that.
After John Oliver did his show on guardianship in 2018, right. I sent him an email, and recently I sent him, I've been trying to send to everybody now the series, because that should go up to Newsom, that should go to the DA, that should go to the Attorney General, the DOJ's office. So I've just been trying to get the word out. So this has been, I guess kind of an obsessive mission of mine. And I don't know whether or not I'm going to be successful before my mom passes, but I want to have unfettered access to my mom. I want to have a meal with my mom, spend the night at her house. And so it's been almost 5 years since any of that has happened.
Wow. That's everybody. I've got so many people with fat faces on here. I can't even tell you. And it's hard to listen to. And this is going on. I mean, this could happen to your mother. My mother wasn't, they sold all of our property, so she wasn't able to stay at home. But I had a case today I went to court on, and they're not letting the mother go back, I don't think so, to her home. And they have the daughter moved out into a homeless shelter. So, yeah, I understand exactly how all of that works. And it's horrible. Horrible to know the mother.
I just have two more things I want to add, and I kind of started approaching it, and then I got on the
tangent. Go ahead and talk about it.
I filed a complaint with California Bar regarding my mother's court-appointed conservator, who has never attempted to follow my mother's wishes. And they responded after 6 weeks that they couldn't do anything because my mother would need to be the one to file the complaint. My mother is stage 7 Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't know who I am. She was nonverbal for a year because no one was speaking to her because the caregivers would sit her in a chair. But now that I'm getting, inside twice a week, she's actually using words again. But she doesn't if I say to her, "Mom, you know who I am?" She says no, but then I say my name starts with a J, and she always says Julie. And so I'm sorry, I'm kind of getting off track, but I wanted to let you know that between the California Professional Fiduciary Bureau, between Adult Protective Services, who said that they couldn't do anything because Carolyn Young was court appointed. I contacted them last summer in the fall, and they said, they can't do anything about the isolation or the fiscal abuse, because as long as there was a court order, they couldn't do anything about it. So I just hit my head against the wall.
To go over to your mother's house and even have a dinner or nothing with her? Nothing.
No, and I can only call between the hours of 12 and 5:45. But I can't really call between 12 and 3 because that's the time that my two other siblings are allowed to visit. They're allowed to go when they want, and they're not supervised. And again, these are the two siblings who petitioned to have Carolyn Young put in place. And so, 5 years later, and the millions and millions of dollars that have been spent down, and these two siblings will never admit that they screwed up. Cannot admit they screwed up. I'm not allowed to drop in. One time I wanted to drop in and give my mother a peach milkshake because it's a long story. But and then when I phoned my mom, this was 4 years ago, and I told her on the phone, I said, "Mom, I'm coming over right now. I got a milkshake from this place that they only have them a certain time of year." And when I got there, there were two staff members from Carolyn Young's office waiting at my mother's waiting at the driveway, and they took the milkshake from me, and I was not allowed to take it to the front door.
Wow.
Same thing with my mother.
I'm sitting here thinking about my mom, and she has she had Alzheimer's like 5th, 6th stages, and it was really tough because you don't know, what stage they're in, and you don't know how long they have to live. So every single moment is so precious to be with them.
It's precious that you're being denied the rights to your own mother, which is your property. They can't take away your property. Your mother is your property.
My property?
And you are your mother's property.
Yeah.
I don't.
You kind of like love. You're kind of like bonded property, you know.
It is. They cannot take away the property. Your mother is your property, and that's this is what these people are doing.
Right. I call it. I call it a love of a mother and a daughter bond. Is what I call it myself, because that never breaks. Yeah.
No, but
it may never break. But Carolyn Young has a tremendous amount of authority. And obviously she's breached her, you know, fiduciary, you know, what's the word I'm looking for, requirements, because she's gone above and beyond to keep me from my mother. But the court continues to green light her. This is okay.
So if you had, let me ask you something. You had one person to pinpoint, who would that be that's keeping you away from your mother? And denying your mother the right of assembly, the right of association. Who is the person
It's Carolyn. It's the fiduciary, Carolyn Young.
Yeah, Carolyn Young.
Oh.
Yeah.
But she can't do that. It's the violation of civil rights.
What, you again? Well, welcome to Sacramento Probate Court.
Right.
Welcome
Carolyn,
to Florida
Young,
Probate
Carolyn,
Court.
A lot of people
welcome
you don't
to
you
Florida.
I mean, when you court. You think when you go into court that they can't keep you from your mother, they can't, you know, they can't keep you from your dad. Oh, yes, they can. You know, they have the right to
it's
do that through the court.
It's human trafficking.
Right.
It's human trafficking.
It really is.
I
don't
know who was
the one saying
that they couldn't do that, but they most certainly are doing that. And I've had a number of attorneys, and they've all said, you know, our hands are tied. Carolyn Young has this incredible amount of authority, and apparently it falls within jurisdiction of the conservatorship. She's conservator of the person and the estate. And
that's how they make their money. That's how the attorneys are making their money. You get your mom, they can't milk the cow anymore.
Yeah.
My mother is going to be moved from her house this August. That was a hearing we had a couple of months ago. They're going to move my mother in August when she's down to her, quote, last $100,000 of fluid assets. So they've already gone to $2.7 million of her Chevron stock that she inherited from her parents. So when she's down to her last $100,000, they're going to move her to a memory care facility, if she's still alive. And then Carolyn Young intends on selling the family house of 54 years. So that she can then get paid for her second accounting, her third accounting there has to be a third accounting, and for any future care my mother will need if she's still alive.
Right.
Oh my God.
Wow. That's unbelievable. Well, you know, I've got a lot of people calling into this show, so I'm just gonna let all of our listeners know that we will be we'll be taking comments and questions or comments in probably in about 15 minutes or so. So I just want to let you know that. So just stay with us. So you've got the ABC News 10 comes out and they're interviewing all the families. You've got five segments of this that happened. And I think the first one is called the ABC News, The Price of Care, Civil Death. And then the second one is The Pattern of Control. Then you got the Old Boys Club, and then you got the right, the fight for accountability, and then I can't read the last one is set up for the future, right?
Correct. Yes.
Right.
Yes, I posted that
on Families Against Court Embezzlement, Unethical Standards Basis on Facebook. So please go to those segments, pass them around, share them widely, because this is really important, what families are facing across the country. And if you think you're going to call social services, you think you're going to call APS, and they're going to help you, think again. I just went on a case today where the daughter called APS, and now her mother is conserved, and it's just a huge mess, and oh, my gosh. So think about it before and try to get along with family members. I know it's not always possible. Like in my family, it was very difficult and it didn't work. So, you know, if you can work out with family members, please try to do so. But so talk about how you got these people involved, ABC10. I know you reached out to them and they said, yes, we're going to do a series on this. How did that happen?
So because I had reached out to a number of episodes and I was just, you know, it, like I said, I was on a mission. So I had talked with another victim who was in the investigative series. Her name is Lisa Saul, and her mother, we were in touch, and her mother had been conserved by a sister who had taken her mother from Southern California and put her in a memory care facility in Northern California. And so Lisa was trying to find her mother, reach her mother. So we were going back and forth, and we were comparing, you know, the patterns. It was the same. It was the same doctor. It's the same nurse Ratchet. It's the same psychiatrist who was trying to get her mother deemed incapacitated that analyzed my mother. So it's the same cabal over and over again. And mm-hmm. So I was in touch. I was in touch with Andy. I interviewed with Andy 4 or 5 times over the course of the year. And I provided Andy with a continual spreadsheet, which I updated, of victims and advocates that I had been in touch with over the last 5 years. And it's like a worm, you know, it's like a rabbit hole or a wormhole that I'll go online right. And I'll see, oh, there's a new Yelp review against Carolyn Young. And they don't give you their email or their name, so I'll just Google them and Google them and Google them, and then I'll contact people and say, are you the one that did this review? And so this has been, I should have been a PI. Because I am, I think, quite well versed in this. And in some twisted way, I kind of enjoy it because at least I get some satisfaction of trying to find other victims. And I kind of congratulate myself. I kind of congratulate myself. Like, oh, yes, yes, another victim of Carolyn Young. So that's how this came about. And I've been in touch with Andy, you know, several times a week in the course of the last year and updated her with all of the hearings. She has all of the documents in my mother's case. But what I told Andy after looking at the first evening, the first report, which is, you know, all of 14 minutes, and I believe that was my mother's story, was for me, it seems like the story at 34,000 feet because it almost felt superficial, and I don't want to discount Andy's work by any means, but I'm just saying that there was so much more of my story. But, of course, you cannot tell your story in 14 minutes. And so for me, it was like congratulations to Andy, and I understand it was, you know, a major accomplishment to tackle this topic. And I'm so glad. I was just so glad when the movie I Care a Lot came out, because even though it was an over-the-top kind of silly movie, at least Hollywood decided to broach the topic. So I have been told by Andy that ABC10 will be doing an hour-long follow-up this August. Now, I don't know whether August is going to actually, you know, because this was delayed a number of times for other you know, news. Newsworthy information or stories, I should say. So I don't know whether or not it's actually going to be airing in August, but everyone is kind of, you know, waiting with bated breath as to whether Carolyn Young is going to sue ABC10 as she did with CBS with their expose back in 2008. And she lost that, by the way. She sued for libel, and she lost that because she was deemed to be a public official or a public figure. So we're all mm-hmm. waiting with bated breath who she's going to sue, who's going to sue who. But yeah, that is the plan, is to do a follow-up to that piece.
Really good news. And we'll be here to cover that as well. And that's what we want to do across the whole complete nation, is just keep putting these out there as much as possible. And I think it's awesome that this has happened. Congratulations for getting that done, you know. That's what I can say.
There were a lot of people involved.
Yeah, and like I say, Linda's still with us, right? Are you still with us, Linda?
Yes, I'm here. I was muted.
Okay, good. Yeah, so you're part of that series as well.
Julie, Dorothy, she's part of that series, and are you aware of that other hour-long segment probably coming out? You probably are, but that is excellent news. It's really good. So far we've covered that you've got to get yourself a name out there. You've got to compile a whole inventory of people. Be your own investigator. I've talked to 160 some families out here in Colorado. I've documented probably a good 50 cases out here across the city. People call me, news media calls me now. Victims find me somehow. My name is out there everywhere now, so I get calls almost every single day of this going on here in Colorado and across the nation. So get yourself out there, be heard, and don't give up like any of these ladies on to our radio show. They have not given up. They've actually been very successful in getting some of this work done. And it's not easy, let me tell you. Getting a news agency out there is not easy. I can tell you that right now.
Luann,
anyway,
we
are going to go. Robin, is that you?
Yes, it is. I just wanted to interject. And I think that one of the things that we've touched on and heard about in this show has been making the effort to contact and work with legislators and get legislation passed. And I think that is always a worthy endeavor. I do remember that one of the things that helped us the most was contact with legislators, and we found a couple of legislators who heard us, listened to us, saw the data that we had assembled, and realized that this was a real problem that they could tackle that would help their constituency. And Senator Laura Woods and Senator Morgan Carroll each floated bills. Now, both of those bills got shut down, but there was also a great effort on behalf of certain individuals in the Senate that helped us to organize and to build a database of people that were affected and to organize that database and to organize that information in a way that we could then create bills and present those bills. So I just wanted to back up what our cohorts are saying, because this also is a very worthy endeavor when you can and you should be producing legislation through this process of getting in touch with your legislators, finding those who are in harmony with you, and will do more than lip service. They will all tell you, oh, that's so terrible, we've really got to do something, and then most of them won't do a damn thing except, you know, chuckle at you behind your back, it feels like.
Right.
But there are those you'll find sometimes who really do want to see change and will help and will do what they can, and that can be the difference. That can be a huge difference in your efforts.
Right, and I also want to run it past everybody, too, out here in Colorado, since Channel 7 News is involved and being investigative on Colorado Guardianship's lead estates, you know. They are also contacting legislators and going to the Attorney General's office as well. So they're going to be following up with another segment, and from what I heard, they're going to be interviewing Rick Black, too. So this is going to be interesting for Colorado as well. So let's keep the momentum up. Let's keep at it, everybody. You know, I can't even express enough how important this is for our next generation to come in, for our elderly people now, you know, our moms and pops and everybody. Anyway, go ahead and bring on some callers. Hillary, I haven't heard from you a second. What do you think about all this before we bring on some callers?
I'm just very, very proud of the activists that are on the show tonight. You know, it takes a lot after being put through the system, so to speak, and your mother's being taken away. I can't even imagine. I mean, with my father, it was bad enough, but year after year after year, and you're still fighting the fight. So I give the two of you so much credit for doing what you're doing and making a difference in California and throughout the states.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Let's bring on a 236 area code. And the number that you call into the radio show is 845-241-9962. You press a 1. 845-241-9962. You press a 1. And you will be live with us on the air. Now, remember, these are recorded and archived. So talk about what you want to talk about, but remember that.
Okay, so 236, do you have a question or a comment?
Hi, Lulu. It's Judy Atwood calling from British Columbia.
Hi, from British Columbia. How you doing?
Hi, I'm good. Lulu, I wanted to know if it's okay if I touch base on family court.
If you're brief, because I've got about six people on here that suddenly want to speak, so go ahead real briefly.
Okay, so I just want to introduce you to a whole new evil that's happening in the family court system. I've been fighting for 4 years. Now they have completely taken my children away where I'm only allowed to text them once a week. And they did so because I protested at the Colorado Supreme Court with FACES. That was the basis of their mental health issues that I don't have. But it turns out that the new level of evil is that the attorney representing my ex-husband is also in charge of his will.
Right.
So
before you go on, so basically I want our listeners to understand that this whole thing is not only with our elderly people. It's not just with, you know, our disabled people, but this can happen to families that have children as well, that they could be isolated and kept from their kids as well. That's basically what you're telling us.
That's correct. My children are 11 and 13, and I lost custody in 2016 for protesting.
Oh, wow.
Wow. You know, there's a group that is called FAC, Families Against Court Travesties.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go to, and they are nationwide, they are court watchers, and they concentrate on mothers that their children have been taken away, and they will go to court if you let them know. They will put it out there on their website, which is nationwide, and they will be there making sure that your judge will treat you with justice and respect. They also evaluate the judge, and they will also interview the judge. Now, if a judge is not treating you properly, then they will write to all their members and let them know about that judge so they won't be voted in.
Yeah, and we're going to be trying to get them. We're going to be trying to get them onto our radio show as well to talk about them. I haven't had to do that.
Yeah, you're going to have them. But the other thing I wanted to tell you is that they have another organization within that organization that is called WINGS now, and that's the one that writes up the judges. Hopefully, you know, they're going to treat you right and they won't have that problem. And then they'll send it out so they won't be voted, so people don't vote for them. And I think that this is very, very good, because in hand is abusing the children, it's abusing the elder, and now I'm introducing them to the guardianship, and They're putting it out there on their website now in some of the articles that I come across with, and also FACES. So there is help out there.
Right. And Judy, I would definitely reach out to other families, you know, that have been abused in the parental alienation side, and talk to a lot of those families and start building yourself, you know, kind of like Linda Kincaid has done. And exactly what Julie Doherty has done, that, and myself have compiled all these cases together to show to them, this is not only me, this is across the whole country. This is happening in my state, this is happening here. And you start building yourself like a little army of people to help you. That's what we're here to tell, is that this is the only way that you could get some work done, and they quit picking on you so much. I do believe that.
And I,
well, I
want to
let you know that there is a great organization that I've teamed up with called Mothers Revolution.
Right.
You check them out. They have a listing of all the children in the United States of America in the past 2 years that have been murdered by a parent or committed suicide due to family court.
Right.
And
I think that's awesome. I think that's awesome. And you know what? Just keep talking about what's going on, like we do here in the probate court system, because it's not right that they're taking the children, and it's not right that they put a divorce out there or whatever, and then your children are taken away, and your spouse is saying ha 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 because you divorced me, this is what happened. That's not right. But
it's total revenge. It's total revenge. Yes, and thank you.
Thank you for calling in. We do appreciate your question. Thank you. So, like I said to our listeners, this is just not only with the adults. This is happening across everywhere. Let's bring in another caller. Let's bring in 714. Do you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, this is 714. It's Al. How you doing, Linda?
Okay, Al. Hi, Al. Welcome to the show. You have a question?
I'm also an
comment?
Attorney.
Okay.
Yeah, well, the problem also is we need to get this whole group together, and we maybe have to go to Congress as opposed to fighting each state. I mean, in L.A.
mm-hmm.
court, they have something called their rules of court, and one of the rules
mm-hmm.
of court basically says once the judge appoints an attorney, even if the person's competent, they can't choose their own attorney. That's a violation of the state constitution as well as the federal constitution, and they don't let them speak. Linda's somewhat familiar with our case. We have plenty of documentation to go with everything else. We just need to get somebody to listen and
show. Did you say you were an attorney?
Yes.
Is it a probate attorney or just a regular attorney?
A lady ended up in the conservatorship in
mm-hmm.
L.A. It's been 4 to 5 years. They've gone through about $400,000 or $500,000 of money. They threw me and the other attorney off. They disqualified us.
Oh.
First time I've ever heard that after 30 years. They disqualified the attorneys. We had a lot of independent people say this woman does not need to be conserved. And as I've heard before, they relied on the PVP or the appointed attorney who's supposed to represent the client and wasn't. They relied on that attorney to bring in the doctor to say that she's not competent, even though we already had something that said she was competent and didn't need to be conserved. The court completely ignored it. Because it wasn't from one of their team members, so it's a difficult problem, and I'm really proud of all the extra time and effort. I know how much time and effort you people put into this thing, and we just
I'm so sorry to interrupt, but I'll just jump in, and whether it's Florida or California or whatever other state, this is a huge problem. You know, anyone before they get put in the system would think a court-appointed attorney would be out for the betterment of their clients. We have seen time and time and basically every single time that there is a court-appointed attorney to represent the AIP, the alleged incapacitated person, that they never, ever, ever try to fight to keep them out of guardianship. Now, we're not talking about people who really can't take care of themselves. We're talking about people that have capacity. And, I mean, and then when you try and substitute counsel, a lot of the judges, even though it's a statute, will say absolutely not. So I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Right, they won't let you do it.
Right.
My client,
so how long have you been an attorney?
30 years.
Wow.
Attorneys
that are trying to help out nowadays, from what I heard, are getting just as boo-fooed as everybody else, if I can use that word. I'm not even
Absolutely. The most outrageous thing I've seen in 30 years.
Right. So we're not all thinking that this is not happening. It is really happening. We've got Phil Ross out there. I've had how many attorneys come on to our radio show and say this is happening. We're getting pushed out of our job because we're standing up for our clients. And that's really fascinating.
And let me just, and I haven't really said much tonight, but, you know, you're getting me going because you have in Florida
we have, I'm going to say honestly, we have three, but in all reality, we have one attorney, Leslie Federicos, who fights the fight for the elderly and the disabled. She's being sanctioned, bar complaints from other lawyers, from judges. They are trying to get her disbarred for one reason and one reason only. She is standing up for her clients, and it is absolutely criminal. But the question is, how do we fix it?
Right. Yeah, how do we fix it, Al? You know, we're like,
well,
good question.
Yeah. I've seen so much nationwide now, we've got to find a way to get someone in Congress, because really the states aren't acting. I mean, they also reported me to the state bar and the other attorney I was working with on the state bar. And the state bar, after they got our information, they just said, that's ridiculous. The judge was so annoyed. There was an independent police officer who is an elder law attorney who had an APS complaint against our people. He came in and talked to him, and our person who was working there said, why don't you go talk to my client and you determine yourself what you think of her? And when he went and talked to her, she said, there's nothing wrong with her. She's fine. She's not. She's perfectly competent. The judge refused to hear him speak about in court, and he implied that I have a special arrangement with that a police officer who I never met before.
Right.
That's how I'm
saying.
Wow. Well, this is really good that you called into our show, because I have your number now, and I'm going to try to contact you to talk
you
a little bit more. And you said, are you from the L.A. area, or where?
I'm from the Free Republic of Orange County.
Free Republic of Orange County. Okay, good. Okay.
If you're in California, you understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, good. Well, thank you for calling in. I definitely want to talk a little bit more about and get your scoop on, like the inside scoop, about what's going on. And I hate to see all these good attorneys being forced out like this. It's just really appalling to me that this is allowed to happen. You know,
you would like to read the declarations made by people who aren't attorneys in this case. And they all read very well, and they tell a very good story, and you'd all be outraged because it's covering all the things we do. These are about five or six, including the doctors who met this attorney, who met this client. She doesn't need to be conserved, and I don't have to have her sign any statement, because I can talk to you about her case. And these people all have written very clear and very interesting, that even the people who are elected officials could understand if they read these declarations these people have signed. And it's all in the court.
Wow.
Can we have a peaceful rally in Washington, D.C. from all over, nationwide?
Yeah. Very hard to organize. I think you could, but it's kind of hard to organize. You know, I don't know how good it's going to go or any of that, but everybody can try and do that. I mean, why not? I definitely want to talk to you a little bit more, but I've got a lot of people wanting to talk into the radio here. So I have your phone number. Like I said, any of you can reach me.
Linda Kincaid has my contacts, too. But if you send me anything, make sure you say reference something about conservatorships, because I get so many of these things. But
okay,
our case is so
right.
It would be a movie. You can make a movie on this. And the same with
Linda's
mom.
Yeah, thank you so much. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I'm happy to be
you
on the call.
Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Wow.
Bye.
That's amazing to get calls, you know, from all these different places. This is awesome. We also have a 561 number, and I think Linda Kincaid I think she either fell off or she had to leave or something, but we want to thank her so much for coming on. I mean, she's always sunshine, you know. She just is really good at what she does, so we just want to keep her on there. And I know Julie Doherty, she's still with us too, so we're keeping your line open as well, and jump in anytime you want. We're going to talk to a 561 number. You have a question or a comment?
Yes. Hi, this is Ray, and I'd like to just compliment you ladies for all the yeoman work that you've done. And I have been in the trenches myself, along with other people, and it's not easy. It's extremely difficult. You have to remember that the judges and the attorneys have a retirement plan, and they become conservatives, they become whatever, and after they retire, they then get these extra jobs, and it adds to their income, and this is their way that they, I'll say it crudely, get paid off.
Right.
It's a racket. It's a RICO. It's definitely a secret, a civil RICO, and if some enterprising U.S. attorney or other person would enter into a criminal RICO with this group. However, the conflicts are rampant here because it's a profit center. This is a profit center for attorneys. And this is all part of a cabal, I think, and this is my opinion.
Right.
It's a cabal, and they've taken over the so-called judicial system, which is not serving the people, in my opinion.
Right.
I know of a party in New York that had spoken with Jim Hoffer, who was a reporter for ABC News in New York, ABC 7 in New York, and
mm-hmm.
went through details of the case with him and then the producer, and it was spiked in plain English. It was spiked. And why? Because the law firm of White & Chase, the White Shoe law firm, and Bankers Trust Company and Deutsche Bank were involved. One of the most important things we have found, myself and others who have done yeoman research, is the FOIL, the Freedom of Information Law requests, with New York State and with other people, with other entities, governmental entities. It's a slow process, but it's been very revealing in what they give out. I know this person engaged in informational leafleting and educational picketing, and they were very upset about this. They, how dare you picket our offices, the law firm of White & Case and Bankers Trust Company and Deutsche Bank and others. Mm-hmm. How dare you? And they had the police come down and try to violate their constitutional rights. And finally, the police went away. The New York City Police Department went away. But you get into situations where it's like you're in another twilight zone or something. And, you know, when
and I agree with that, too, as well.
It's sad that people, the salient point is, I think, that it's very sad that you all and myself and other friends I've known that have gone through this have to go through this. Because at a time in your life when you should be coming in for a landing, and not actively engaged in hand-to-hand combat, you're enmeshed in this. They drag you into this, and it's criminal. It's criminal. But the problem is, if you get an attorney like the attorney that was just on the phone from California, and I'll make a statement.
Yeah, we appreciate him calling in. That's awesome. That attorney's call us. That's good.
Absolutely. He
mm-hmm.
stood up.
Yeah.
But the problem is with attorneys that stand up, they get, there's an expression in Japan, the nail that stands up gets pounded, and they pound them.
Yeah.
They threaten their bar license. They threaten to ruin them. They ruin. I've seen this happen in New York State and in Florida, and it's criminal what they do, but the powers that be let them get away with it. So something is rotten in Denmark.
Like I said, I'm just really glad he called in to talk about that. I'm going to, you know, talk to him later on about what happened and this whole case. So that's awesome to know. We've got two or three more people that
thank you.
Called.
Thank you very much. Keep the faith
and
God bless.
Thank you, Ray, for listening to our
show.
And thank you for calling being on. Thank you. Appreciate
You're welcome.
It.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's awesome. You know,
he is
I'm
so
glad
right.
That
people, you know, he really is so right. These attorneys are heroes who will stand up and defend their clients because they will get pounded by their own constituents. The other attorneys, the judges, the people involved in the law will come after them just like they come after the victims. And they are pounded. And, you know, that's one of the reasons I like to speak out on their behalf and stand up for them because they face opposition that is every bit as strong as anything that you and I face as the activists that are up against this.
Right.
Hey,
and remember,
Quinn,
I nailed that stand and pounded. I wrote that down, actually. I nailed that stand up and pounded, and I can relate to that.
Someone just texted me that they're listening to the show, and they said we should demand jury trials, proper levels of proof, and due process, penalties, limitations, and they're saying this is RICO. We need to get grand jury, and we must work together for this cause, for the common good of the people, and this person is looking for advocates to help them file or send letters, and the email is instituteofscience@yahoo.com.
Institute of Science. Oh, good. Good. So if anybody wants to reach out, reach out to them.
Let's
bring in another caller. Right. We've got another caller here, a 408. You have a question or a comment? Area code. 408.
I think I'm a 408. This is Linda Kincaid. I got dropped off, so I called back in.
Oh, Linda.
I'm
like, okay, I'm trying to figure out if the 79, you know, I'm like, okay, I know what number this is. Good. I'm so glad you came back on. I just didn't want to think that we just forgot about you because you're like a very well voice out there. But earlier we were talking to this other man that called in, and he said his name was Al, and he said he was an attorney, and he was facing opposition as well by protecting some of these clients. Have you seen that a lot out in Florida? I mean, not in Florida, but in California?
I know Al's case. I met Al. We were both in L.A. together, and we talked about his case a fair amount. I've seen some of the documents on it. Al's case is totally real. What he said is totally real. I can't say I've seen that routinely. What I do see is just the churning, delay, because it pays so very well. But if an attorney gets a little bit aggressive in defending his client, and if the judge doesn't like it, and, you know, L.A. probate court is not a friendly place. You know, if you anger the judge, anything can happen.
Yeah. I was just really glad he called in. And everybody, a lot of people are listening to our shows. It's so fascinating to know that we can help quite a few people just talk about this. It's so important. To talk about this kind of issues, because a lot of people are blindsided. When they go into court, they have no idea what's ahead of them. They have no idea that, you know, their parents' homes are going to be taken or they're going to be kicked out of their homes. I have so many cases going on in Colorado that I throw up my hands and say, you know, I just give me a break. I have to take a break once in a while. But then you get that phone call in by an elderly person saying, I don't know what's going on, but something's going on. Then you jump up and you do it all over again, you know. So I'm glad that our radio show is reaching out to people. I've got other people trying to come on. Right now they're asking me questions all over Facebook anyway. Linda, stay with us. We've got another 720 number that has a question or a comment, but Linda, just stay on there with us, okay? And Julie is still with us as well. So 720, you have a question or a comment?
I have a question. Oh, is there somebody else? Sorry, I'm 720.
Okay.
One of the
you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I sure do. I have a question. I am a little bit younger, but I have a conservator in Douglas County, and I wanted to know, in my personal situation, I'm completely afraid if the judge or my conservator even knows that I'm trying to get help, that they will act adversely again. You know, one meeting with the attorney, he said, I'm 48.
48 and you're conserved. I think I know who this is, so I'm not really going to say your name on here, but I've talked to you just recently.
Yes.
And I want our listeners to know that this young lady is beautiful. She's 48 years old, everybody. I talk to her. She does not sound incapacitated to me. She does not sound incapacitated to me. I've talked to her for a long time, and this is one of the cases that we're going to be bringing possibly to the Channel News team here. That it needs to be investigated. I agree with that. So just talk to us a little bit if you can. Are you able to say anything? Just don't say your name. I don't want anybody to know. But you're 48 years old and you're conserved. How long have you been conserved?
Since 2019, and I asked the county for help. I thought I wanted to protect my assets. So I understand where I'm at. It's just the judge and the conservator that I have. When I spoke with the conservator to enter estate planning, he said, you know, he said this to the conservator, I am not going through this every 6 months with her. I was like, oh, gosh. So I don't know if I put any of this out there, the judge or the conservators find out if they will punish me.
That's why we're not saying your name, okay? So I know who you are, you know, and I've talked to you on several occasions. But I always ask anybody that's been conserved or, you know, in any of this manner, you can always call into the show and just don't say your name. Don't just say, I'm conserved, I've got knocked. You know, I had that knock on our door, and you can talk to us. Now, remember, none of us here on this radio show are attorneys. We have no idea how a lot of this stuff works. This is real life experiences that come into our radio show of what's happening to people's families. So I just want to put
really
that clear
for elderly.
Out there. Right.
Yeah, the elderly,
and you're not an elderly person.
Voice.
Yeah, you're not an elderly person.
Right?
You're a person that could speak for that middle class of people being conserved. Now, I know that Channel 7 did a series out here, and I know that you watched that. It was really a good series that they did. And I think you got a hold of me through that, it was another organization. But I want to keep in touch with you a lot of the time so I can understand what's going on with your case. As we get further, what's your hopes on getting out of this conservatorship? What do you want to have happen real quickly?
I don't know that I will ever get out of this. It seems really complicated in Colorado. So I'm just going to have my daughter, who's 21, if they will appoint her. But it's tricky with the system. I think it is a dog and pony show. The judge had his mind completely made up before he even spoke with me. So that's hard. I just have a pit in my stomach because I feel so sad for elderly people. I have a voice, and it just doesn't really, it doesn't matter that much. And I feel bad for people going through this with their pain.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, that's just really sad, everybody.
You gotta demand accountability.
Yeah.
You gotta demand accountability and the wrongdoing. And if you need to call the FBI, then maybe do it. I mean, you have rights as a citizen of the United States. Contact the Attorney General and let them know what's happening to you. Contact the media.
And I also think you should also call Channel 7 News and talk to them as well and say, I'm being conserved at 48 years old. I know for a fact that they would probably talk to you more about that. I really do.
I think anybody being conserved,
and you don't sound like you need to be conserved. I don't know the whole complete details of your case, but talking to you, it's like, you know, if they could conserve a 48-year-old, you know, and look what they can do to anybody. I mean, this is scary, folks. This is really scary, you know, but you have a lot of courage to call into this our station and to talk about people.
Thank you so much.
Really glad that you're speaking up about it.
I appreciate what you do.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're speaking up about it, and you should definitely be a voice for, you know, the middle-class people on the stand, you know. That's awesome.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate everything you guys do. So I'm sort of alone, but I'm super happy to know you guys exist. It's a good silver
lining. Well, you're actually not alone. You have me out here, so I talk a lot. I care a lot, and I talk
awesome.
A lot. My favorite saying I say now, you know. But why don't you keep your line open? We've got another, a few minutes to the radio show, but keep your line open. So we've had quite a few callers come in, all kinds of people that came in. I'm thankful for each and every one that's called into our show. And Linda Kincaid, you are an amazing advocate out there. You've been with us for a long time. How can people get a hold of you? And the same thing with Julie. I'm going to bring her back in. How can they get a hold of you to talk to you?
The best way to reach me is by email, and you can contact me through our website, which is coalitionforrights.com. That's with the number 4, coalitionforrights.com. That's the CEDAR website, and we have a contact us page, and you can reach me through the website.
Wow. Coalition for Rights, right? Coalitionforrights.com?
Wow. Yeah, the number 4, coalition4rights.com.
Okay, I got that written down too as well. And so anybody can reach Linda Kincaid there, especially if you're out in the Sacramento area, if you're anywhere out there. I know that there's a Venus disc that is out there too. I think she's up a little bit further, and she's been working a lot out there as well. And the California area. So we have a lot of really good advocates out there in California. I know quite a few now. So call me. You can find me. I'm Luann Fleming. I am on Facebook. You can get me up on Messenger. Reach out to me there. And, oh, my gosh. Julie, how can people get a hold of you? I mean, do you have an email or anything in case they want to contact you as well, in case somebody wants to talk to you about how you got involved with ABC 10? I know that a lot of people are scared to call into the show, and some people have become very brave to do that, but how can they get a hold of you as well?
Yes, so they can email me, and also I'm going to provide that to you in just a second, but Yelp reviews, we cannot discount the power of Yelp reviews. So, for instance, with Carolyn Young in Sacramento, you can go on there at any given time and you will see a lot of negative reviews for her. But in addition to the negative reviews, you'll see another dozen that have that are considered not fit for human consumption. And you can still read those. But then further on, you can see that there are another 37 that have been removed, because Carolyn Young told me herself 4.5 years ago that if you use words like crime, criminal, and crook, their attorneys can have the content or these reviews removed. So it's something very, very easy to provide these reviews. It absolutely gets under her skin that she's got a 2.5 overall rating out of 5 stars. And that's how I found a lot of the victims, and my information is on there. I don't give an alias. I give my name. I give my email address. I give my phone number so that I can appeal to other Carolyn Young victims. So my email address, if anyone wants to reach me, my email address is beanstalk1, like Jack and the Beanstalk, BEANSTALK. Then the number 1, beanstalk1 at comcast.net.
Okay, comcast.net. Okay, I hope everybody writes that down. And you can also...
Linda Kincaid, right? Linda, right? This is Linda's email, correct?
No, that was Julie Doherty.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And that, how you spell her last name? It goes J-U-L-I-E-D-O-H-E-R-T-Y, Doherty. Okay, so.
And the other
one was Linda Kincaid, and how you spell her name is L-I-N-D-A-K-I-N-C-A-I-D. So that's just an understanding that we have. But you can find them all up there. And that, I think that's really good information about Yelp. I never thought about doing that on Yelp. So that's really good information. I know that there's a I think ITVO or something like that.
Wherever you can give a public review, do so. It gets under their skin. It gets the word out. And then you can actually locate other victims so that you can collaborate. And also, I would just please spread the word on this ABC 10 series anywhere and everywhere. Spread the word.
Right. And so if anybody wants to call that station, do you have any station numbers that people can call and say thank you for doing this series? Do you have any of those phone numbers?
You can go on to ABC 10 Sacramento's website. It's just ABC 10
in Sacramento.
And then you can look up the stories. It'll be on the right-hand side. It'll talk about the conservatorship series. It will provide links to all of the articles that were written about the series, in addition to the live Q&A that took place after one of the night's airing, in addition to all five segments.
Wow. That's awesome. I got just really tickled that they did five series of this for 15 minutes. That is impressive. And they're going to come out with some more. So my hats are off to you guys for doing this wonderful job out there. I mean, we need more of this. We need thousands of more advocates to get out there and just really talk about what's going on. And remember that we've got June 15th is the World Elder Abuse Awareness Day, by the way. I just wanted to put that out there as well. So everybody should be posting as much as they can, and make sure you put these articles out there along with our news stations that we did. And that's our link was put out onto Facebook as well. That's Colorado Guardians Lead Estate. So I think that's another one with little to no oversight. That's also out there as well. That was Channel 7 News ABC out here in Colorado that did that. Her name is Jennifer Kowaleski. Tony Kowaleski is the father that has been with Channel 7 News for a long time, and Joe Vaccarelli. He is also, as well, he's another investigative reporter. So anybody that has listened to this, make sure you call into these stations and thank them very much for what they're doing for us. So anyway, Linda, we're going to bring you back on for a second, and we're going to say thank you for coming on and sticking with us through this whole hour and a half, 2 hours. It's been awesome to talk to you, and I just want to say thank you for that. And I'm sure my advocates here, my co-hosts, want to thank you as well, and also along with Julie. We want to thank you for coming on.
If I have an opportunity, and then I'm going to hang up, I believe that we as Americans need to work together.
Mm-hmm.
To enforce and encourage proper enforcement of our Constitution, because she really made that we have the right of assembly. The bad guys have been working together daily, and they have gotten up into a lot of the spots in our government and our courts. And not everybody is bad. There are ethical attorneys and there are ethical judges. But the abuse that is going on now nationwide, it really is getting out of hand. And a major investigation needs to really happen, contacting the FBI, contacting the general attorney general in your state, and let them know that you are a victim and this is happening to you. This is not the Care-A-Lot movie. The Care-A-Lot movie mirrors what is going on in the insidious life of the guardianship. So I think the June 15th would be a great time to everybody start sending out all the emails to all these government agencies. Different government agencies.
So, and Robin and Hillary, I still want to speak to you. Hillary, go first. Talk a little bit about, I know tomorrow is a big, important Zoom meeting, right?
It is, and thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to mention it. Tomorrow at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time, there's a Zoom hearing for Thomas C. Booker. He is an African-American young man with cerebral palsy was put into a fraudulent guardianship. So it's so important that there are big numbers that turn out for this hearing. There is no password. The Zoom ID is all you need, and it's 916-9807-7979. Again, the meeting ID for tomorrow's hearing at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time is 916-9807-7979. And I'm begging our listeners, please Zoom in. Numbers speak louder than words sometimes, so we really need your help. Thank you so much for a great show.
There you go. And Robin, how about you?
I want to thank all of our guests tonight and all of our callers and all of our listeners. This is important work that we're doing. These are important stories. This is important for each of us to take in hand whatever we can do on an individual and as group level to fight against the kind of corruption that we are seeing in our courts. If we do not, our children will suffer. Our children's children will suffer even more. We are breeding a nation of slaves if we do not battle against this kind of thing. It is tyranny. It is criminal, and we've got to stop it. So I very much appreciate the efforts of our guests tonight. I very much appreciate their bringing forward the information about what they're doing and what things have been effective for them and how we might also be effective. And I encourage you, wherever you are, whoever you are, imagine that we are able to create a system that is truly just and that ends this kind of injustice, and where these criminals are facing charges that they ought to face, because these are crimes that they're committing, whether they're sanctioned by people in black robes or not. These people are committing crimes, and they're crimes against humanity, they're crimes against justice, they are crimes against God Almighty, and we've got to stand up for what is right in this country. And I appreciate all of you, because you are the ones that are responsible for and are actively engaged in changing this world for the better. So I appreciate you, and I love you, and I stand with you, every single one. Justice requires transparency and accountability. Never, never, never quit.
Right. Thank you all, everybody, for coming on. Thank you. I just tell you enough. We've had an amazing amount of callers that came in. You are listening to us. Please spread the word about our radio show. We just want to make sure that we contact with many, many people on the high level. And you can also join the Marty Oakley Show, too. She talks a lot about this as well. She's on TS Radio. She's awesome at what she does. There's many organizations you can go to. There's NASGA. There's Americans Against Abuse of Probate Guardians. Rick Black is out there with SEER. I mean, FACE Us, Families Against Court Embezzlement, Unethical Standards. That's who we are. You can reach out to us. Find me on Facebook. You can find Robin Austin, he's on Facebook. Marcy Freeman's on Facebook. Hillary Hogue is on Facebook. So reach out to anybody and just say we're being conserved. We need help, and we'll see what we can do. Anyway, I'm going to play a song.
Can I say one more thing? I also think that the RICO statutes are not being applied equally to all wrongdoers. And we are entitled due process, and no one is above the law. And just too many elders and too many victims are dying. This has to stop.
Oh. Exactly. Yeah, bad. It's really out of control. Anyway, we are going to end our radio show with a song. It's called It's Going to Rain. And this is my son-in-law's band that we had. The singer of this song, beautiful man, died before he could put this out. So as a gratuity, we went ahead and we had it published and we put it out onto the radio stands. It's all over Spotify. It's all over the place. It's a beautiful song from, it's called It's Going to Rain by Perfect High. So I want to listen to this. It's beautiful. You can find it on Spotify. It's Going to Rain. Good night, everybody.
It wasn't the early morning. morning in the summer, when you said goodbye to me. I watched you walk across the tall grass. You looked behind so you could see me as you waved goodbye with the sun all around you. Somehow I just know it's gonna rain. Kiss me once, I'll go on without you. Somehow I just know. Somehow I just know it's gonna rain. Your spirit has to travel, go down every open road. You never know until you find it for yourself. Hearts will run. I can't stay here to see you go where the sun all around you. Somehow I just know it's gone. Somehow I don't know it's gonna repeat. Wave goodbye when the sun's all around you. Somehow I don't know it's gonna repeat. Kiss me once, I'll go on without you. Somehow I don't know. Somehow I don't know it's around you. Somehow I just know it's gonna rain. Kiss me once, I'll go